And so this evening we've got a testimony and a word from our brother Victor out of Jeremiah 7. So, Victor?
Thanks, Pastor Greg. I just wanted to say that, you know, standing up here, I really develop, you develop a very big respect for, you know, Pastor Tomlinson and Pastor Otero, because this is a hard spot to be in. You know, it's a great responsibility, you know, preaching from God's word, knowing that you could never, ever live up to the perfection of God's word. And so I just chose Jeremiah chapter 7 because it's mainly talking to the believers, and usually Sunday evenings we have more of the faithful believers that come. But it's an admonishment to the people of God to kind of examine themselves and you know, look at what they're doing, look at what their actions are, and kind of looking at the heart and seeing what the thoughts and intents of their heart was, even though they were going to church and praying and offering sacrifices and things of that nature. And so that kind of lays on my heart, because I think, you know, we have a nation, and I know we've all talked about this, where, you know, we have the majority of our country is still, you know, quote unquote Christians, and there's many, many churches out there. But if you look at, you know, the quality of our country and what the, you know, you can see the news and things that are just going downhill, you know, you kind of wonder, you know, even though we're majority Christians, you know, are we really Christians? And so that's why I kind of chose Jeremiah chapter 7. So what I'd like to do, hopefully, I know we all had a good lunch, and hopefully you won't fall asleep here, but we'll read the chapter, and I'll just get into it and just bring out, I just wanted to bring out four points and then come to a conclusion. And so why don't we bow our heads and pray, and then we'll get in with the reading. Dear Lord, we just do thank you for your word, because we know it is perfect and it is true. And Lord, we know that we could never, ever live up to what you would want us to do in your word. And that is why we are so thankful, Lord, that you provided Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, Lord, to die on the cross for us, so that we might have and obtain perfection, Lord, through his work. And so, Lord, just be with us tonight and encourage us. This is just a reminder to us, Lord, and we always continuously need to be reminded, Lord, to follow and obey you. Thank you for this opportunity. I just pray for Pastor and Raquel. I just pray for them, and I hope that everything's going well there with just the making the arrangements. And I just pray that you give all of them comfort, that they might seek you during this empty time of having a person go away. Such sadness, but then there is joy, because we know that Mr. Lacey knew you, and we know that he is in a better place, and we have our comfort in that, Lord. So just be with myself, and I just pray that your words, not mine, go out, and that you make us sensitive to your word, Lord. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I read it, though, I just wanted to give you kind of a historical background of Jeremiah. And basically, the kings that were at the time of Jeremiah was Josiah, Jehoaz, and then Jehoiakim, and Jehoiachin. And as you remember from going to Kings, you know, some of these kings were good and some of these kings were not so good. Like Josiah overall was a good king. And then Jehoaz, starting from Jehoaz, they started going away from God. And then when you had Jehoiakim, he really, really went away from God. And I just kind of want to just give you a background. And this is basically from the commentary of our Sunday school class about Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim basically reigned for 11 years, and he really went away from God. You know, Josiah kind of set up some godly things, and then when Jehoiakim took over, It went down spiritually. The nation of Israel went down. So let me just read this. It says Jehoiakim's 11-year reign was a period of dramatic spiritual decline in Judah. Josiah's reforms were reversed, and the people returned to worshiping false gods. When the restraints of God's word and the law were removed, society again became lawless, violent, and immoral. The people even brought their idols into the temple and worshiped them as well as the Lord. The people of Judah professed to believe and worship the Lord, but their hearts were far from him. Throughout the week, they gave little thought to his commandments and did what they wanted. When the Sabbath came around, they attended worship services, prayed, and asked God to forgive and bless them. But after they walked out of the services, they continued to live as they wanted. They never gave a second thought to true repentance, because they thought that professing to believe in the Lord and attending worship services at the temple made them acceptable to God. They believed that how they lived during the week did not matter that much to God, as long as they continued to honor him by professing his name and faithfully worshiping him. That is what the people were like in the corrupt days in which Jeremiah preached the temple this sermon. And so that kind of gives you a background that people, it's kind of what's happening in our country today as we get into this lesson, is that there was, a lot of going to church and a lot of praying, going to the temple, but because of what was happening around them and the other nations, and they were letting the beliefs of the other nations affect what they believed, they basically went downhill too. And we have the same thing now in our nation as we'll go through this. So why don't we all turn to Jeremiah 7, and I'll just read through the whole thing. So let's start with verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in the lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if ye thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers, forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go ye now unto my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now, because you have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not, and I called you, but ye answered not, therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein you trust it, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man and upon beasts and upon the trees of the field and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in that day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, and they walked in the counsel and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward, and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord, their God, nor receive correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on high places. For the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of this wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter, for they shall bury in Tophet, till there be no place. And the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth, and none shall fray them away. Then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. So as you go through that chapter, you know, I mean, basically, this is God's people that God is like condemning, you know, and it's because they've gone so far away from what they were supposed to be doing. So what I want to do is just bring four points. Basically, it's the things we do can't give us salvation. Basically, God was telling them, even if you go to church, it doesn't give you salvation. You're not going to be entering into the promised land because you go to church or you go through the motions. Prayer, even though you pray, you know, you might have prayer and you might go to prayer services. It's not just that won't give you salvation. Offerings, even though you make offerings to me and you make sacrifices to me, it, apart from true repentance and obedience to me, that won't give you salvation. And then God's discipline and correction, even though God disciplines us, and if we don't listen to God and we don't change our ways, then it's all in vain, right? And we, you know, salvation isn't because we don't obtain salvation because God corrects us. So the first point, going to church, that was, you know, going to church does no good apart from true repentance and obedience. And that's basically verses 3 to 15. So God promised the people that they could go into the promised land if they amended their ways. And if you read Jeremiah 7, verses 3 to 7, which I just read, you know, God says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods. Then will I cause you to dwell in this place in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. So in those verses, God gives them a conditional, right? And what is a conditional? If you do this, then this, right? And so what God was trying to say, that you guys are going to church and you're going to the temple, but you're trusting in the temple in verse 4, right? Trust ye not in lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. Just because I go to church, it's not going to bring about salvation. And God is saying to the people that basically I don't want you to just come to church. I want you to obey me, you know, and to repent from your sins. And the people back then, they were trusting on different things. Like they were trusting on, because they were the dependents of Abraham and inheritors of the promised land. If you turn to Genesis chapter 15, verse 18, we'll find out what some of the people were trusting on. Genesis 15:18 says, in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. So just because God said, Abraham, you can have this land, you're going to have the promised land, which is the land of Canaan, basically. The people were saying, well, I'm the descendant of Abraham, so I'm eventually going to get this land. And God was telling them, no, that's not true. And if you look at, if you turn to Genesis 17, 7 and 8, it's a similar thing. It says, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So that's what the people were hanging on to. They were hanging on to, well, just because I came from Abraham, I'm going to inherit the promised land. Or if you turn to 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 10 to 17, it talks about the citizens of the nation or the Israelites. God had promised them the promised land also. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 10 to 17. I told Devin if I couldn't find the verses fast enough, I'd call on her to read. She's always the winner in my class for Swords Up. 2 Samuel 7. 10 to 17. And that reads, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people, Israel, and I will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people, Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee a house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. So here's some other verses that the people, the Israelites, were resting on. You know, I came from Abraham, I came from David, and God promised through Abraham and through David, we were going to enter into the promised land. We were going to have salvation. And so they went through the motions and they rested on these promises. But if you look further, if you go back to Jeremiah chapter 7, they were resting on that, but if you start with verse 8, it says, behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. And if you look at verse 9 and 10, you know, this is what the people were doing. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal? And we all know, you know, there's nobody exempt from doing any of those. As we studied in Matthew, You know, if you think angry about somebody, it's almost as bad as murdering somebody, right? If you look at a woman or a man in the wrong way, it's just like committing adultery. So, and you know, and swear falsely and burn incense unto Baal and walk after other gods whom you know not and come and stand before me. And then God says, okay, you do these things. And then you look at verse 10 and he says, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. So it's like, you know, you go through the week and you do all these things and then you go to church and because we have the grace of God, right? And, you know, people rely on, well, my salvation is because God is so merciful and so graceful. But we have to be careful because we could get caught like doing the same things as the Israelites, right? We can, you know, just rely on that. Well, God has saved me. I'm saved. I was baptized. But we really have to examine our lives. You know, I mean, I know I'm convicted on this, and I'm sure many of you are, you know, doing the same things. We go to church and God says here, you know, don't rely on, you know, just your thinking of salvation. Your life has to show it, right? God says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. So just going to church, and then what's the judgment? If you read from verse 11 on, is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? And we know in the book of Matthew, same thing. You know, Jesus accused them, you know, you've turned my house into, you know, basically a marketplace, right? And a den of robbers and thieves. Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go ye now unto my place where, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now because you have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you rising up early and speaking, but you have heard not, and I called you, but you have answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein you trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. Now Shiloh, and correct me, Pastor T, if I'm not remembering this right, but basically it was the first place of entry after they came out of the wilderness and they had built, you know, a tabernacle of stones there. And eventually there was a temple there. And through time, the Philistines ended up taking over the place and wiping out all the people in Shiloh. And that's what God was referring to here. And he was saying, if you continue relying on the temple, you know, and but your works are far from me, then I will judge you just like I did in Shiloh. And then the second point was prayer. If you look at verse 16, this is a really bad condemnation on the Israelites, you know, the nation of God. Therefore, pray not thou for this people. He's telling Jeremiah, don't pray for this people. Neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. You know, and so that's pretty God when God says, you know, like if he talked about Bethel, don't pray for Bethel because they're so far from me. I don't even want you, Pastor Jeremiah, to pray for Bethel because their heart is so far from me. You know, and that's basically what he was saying here. And why? Why did he say that? You know, and he explains it if you just go down the chapter. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood and the fathers kindle the fire and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods that they may provoke me to anger. So who was the queen of heaven? The queen of heaven at the time was Ishtar. And she was like the goddess of sex and love, right? And that's who they were worshiping, and other false gods. And what was happening there is what's happening now. There are so many religions. I mean, we were just talking about this earlier with Joby, you know, with the synagogues coming in and, you know, the population growth of the unbelievers are really coming in. And what's happening with the believers is, in our country, is we don't want to cause any waves, right? Let's just be tolerant and let's be non-discriminatory. And what's happening is because we're not setting ourselves apart, all these different religions are coming in. I remember, you know, this was maybe right after I got saved. You know, I was Catholic. All of you know the story. I was Catholic, and my mom had me go to this retreat, this Catholic retreat, right? And even back then, when I went to retreat, one part of the retreat was they had me go into this room, right? It was all dark, and they had candles lit up, and they said, you know, just come in and breathe deeply. Well, you know, we all know that's more Eastern influence, right? So even back then, 25 years ago, I mean, the other religions were already coming in. And what about now? You know, I know now a lot of, you know, so-called, you know, Christian, you know, churches have accepted, you know, Eastern religion, you know, and other kinds of abominations of God have entered into the church, different types of worship. And that's what God is talking about here, you know, in verse 19. Do they provoke me to anger? You know, saith the Lord, do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon men and upon beasts and upon the trees of the field and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. So God is just saying, you know, you guys are not being sanctified. You're not, you Christians, my people, are not setting yourselves apart. You're doing what everybody else is doing. And so God was angry. So prayer, you know, just because we might come to prayer meeting, how do we apply this in our lives? You know, just because we attend services, because we come to prayer meeting and go through the motions, God is saying is if our heart and our lives aren't in sync with that, you know, it's of none effect. And so what's the bottom line is sin basically separates us from God. If you turn to Psalm 66, verse 18, it talks about sin separating us from God. Psalm 66, 18. And that says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So just as God said, you know, Jeremiah, don't pray for them. If we continue to sin as, you know, so-called Christians, if we continue to sin, there's going to come a point where God will not hear us. And if you look at in Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So that's what sin can do in our lives. If we continue in sin and we just go through the motions, then we have separated ourselves from God. And God gets angry. I mean, right here he says, you know, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. So prayer, going to church, prayer, you know, that's not going to make us right. And then offering, sacrifices, you know, back then it was actual offerings of animals and sacrifices of animals, you know, but now today we have tithes, right? So I go to church, I go to prayer meeting, I give my tithes, I do what everybody else does, I'm doing my thing. But God says again, apart from true repentance and obedience, it's no good. And if you go to verse 21 in Jeremiah 7, you know, God explains that. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. So in verse 21 and 22, basically, he said, you know what? I don't even want your burnt sacrifices, because what did the burnt sacrifice represent? Basically, you burnt the whole thing. Because you were offering your whole self to God, right? That was the whole thing. Is they burnt the whole sacrifice that would be offered to God, and that symbolized you giving up of yourself, your whole self to God. And here God says, you know what? I don't even want your sacrifice. You can burn it. You can barbecue it, basically. And you can eat it, right? Because I don't want it. I don't want your prayer. I don't want your sacrifice. Because I can see your heart, and it's not there. So you eat the meat. You sacrifice the meat, but you can eat it in verse 21, right? Put your burnt offerings under your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. So he didn't even want their sacrifices. And so, God gives that condition again. He says in 23, but this thing commanded them saying, obey my voice and I will be your God and you shall be my people. Again, he tells them, if you just obey me, then I will be your God. Don't say you love me and do the opposite, right? It's basically formalism or hypocrisy. But look at what they responded with. They were stiff-necked, okay? Verse 24, but they hearken not nor incline their ear, right? And we all know, I harp on this on my classes. What is hearken? It's to listen and what? Obey, right? And so God says, but they hearken not nor incline their ear. You know, they didn't want to listen to God. They walked in the counsel and the imagination of their evil heart. And we all know, I've got the references here, but we all know what the Bible says about following our own heart, right? The heart is what? Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it, right? And then three, and then they went backwards. So instead of going forwards, they went backwards in their sin. And God was saying, you know, this is not the way to worship me. And that's why he was so angry at the believers. And then in verse 25, since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants and the prophets daily rising up early and sending them. And it wasn't only Jeremiah at that time. If I look at this timeline, the prophets, basically during Jeremiah's time, you had Zephaniah, Jeremiah, Habakkuk, Daniel, and Ezekiel. All of those prophets were all going at the same time. So it wasn't Jeremiah, it was all these other prophets that were at the same time. And that's what God was saying there. He says, you know, I've sent you my prophets, I've sent you my word, but what? In verse 26, yet they hearken not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers, right? So the people didn't want to listen. And so God is just going to judge them. And then in verse 27, so offering sacrifices, just because you offer sacrifice, that's not going to get you salvation. You know, that's not going to get us to the promised land. And then in verse 27 and 28 and down, he talks about just because I correct you, you know, then people rest on, well, God has chastised me, so I know that I am one of his, right? But we gotta be careful in that, because we have to respond to God's correction. If God corrects us and corrects us and corrects us, and if we don't respond, then we're doing the same thing here. We're hardening our heart and we're not responding to God. So in verse 27, he says, therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. And it's reminding me of our nation now. You know, we have the truth still, and God is giving us the truth. And the more, I mean, you see it all with all this homosexuality, and people want liberal laws and everything, you know, the people, our nation, and I know it, you know, a lot of it's unbelievers, but I think it's because us Christians, like Greg was talking about earlier, we're not taking a stand. We're not voicing we're just silent, right? And so I think, you know, we gotta pray that God put us out there. And God is saying, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and cut off from their mouth. In verse 29, cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up lamentation on high places. For the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of this wrath, of his wrath. And then here it says, for the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, say the Lord. They have set their abomination in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came in unto my heart. And you read that and you go, wow, that was an evil society back then. They burnt their sons and daughters, you know, to the gods, right? We do the same thing today. What do we do today? abortion, same thing. And, you know, they just killed that guy, Dr. Tiller, right? Dr. George Tiller. And, you know, I was talking to Rodney about it. We were talking about it yesterday with Rodney, and I never really went into the internet and studied about this guy, but this guy, I understand now, and I'm not justifying, you know, taking a man's life as murder. I mean, that was completely wrong, but I looked at the way this guy did late term abortions, and I couldn't even read the articles. I mean, and so this is what's accepted in our society. It's about as bad as burning your kids to the gods, you know? And so, we have to be careful when we're not doing the same thing. So what's my conclusion? My conclusion is I ask myself, so what does God really want from us? He wants our obedience. You know, the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So it's this is coming from my heart. You know, we go to church, we come here and do the motions, but we have to look at our lives too. What is the thoughts and intents of our hearts? Because that's really what God is looking at. You know, what are we teaching our children? Like Jovi had an excellent speech yesterday or testimony yesterday about, you know, our children are not ours. We only have them for a certain amount of time. Our life is not ours. We're only here for a certain amount of time, right? God is the one that gives us the 60, 70, 80, 90 years that we have, 100 years. Some of us might make it 100. But it's only borrowed time, right? And what are we doing, you know? And I really like what Joby said is our legacy. What will our legacy be known for? And hopefully, and I'm with Job, is hopefully our legacy is that this man or this woman served the Lord, and this man's children will serve the Lord, and then we have done our job, right? And so, and that's what God wants. So my conclusion is the song that we were practicing, 2 Chronicles 7:14. And what does that verse say? And Pastor has told us this verse many, many times. What does it say? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, and we are God's people, right? We all profess to be Christians, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. And so that's such a comforting verse, because if we just keep ourselves humble, If we, you know, humble ourselves and we pray and we obey God truly, right, with all our heart, mind, and soul, then God will keep us. And then we have all the joy we have on the earth, you know, because then we'll have eternal life. We have eternal life through the death and resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. And what a gift. What a gift that the world does not have. But we have to keep our guard. We have to keep our guard. And again, I say happy Father's Day to all the fathers, but it's our job, right, to keep that guard with our families and to make sure that that even in our own lives that we follow and obey God in a real way. So that's what I wanted to share with you tonight. Thank you.
And as he was closing up with 2 Chronicles 7:14, notice that it does not say if all of the people of the land will humble themselves, but it says if my people who are called by my name. And so it's the people of God who need to humble themselves and cry out for God's mercy, his grace, and his love. And so let's close off in prayer. Father, thank you for the word of grace, the word of encouragement that you give to us. That you are not finished with us, you are not done with us, but Lord, we need to move forward and to humble ourselves before you and to reach out into the communities around us with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that your people who are called by your name will humble themselves before you. And then, O Lord, as we humble ourselves and turn from our wicked ways, you will heal, you will hear, and you will heal. And so, Lord, I pray for the healing of your churches, the healing of our nations, the healing of our world, not by might nor by the strength of man, but by the Spirit and the wonder of God. In Jesus' name, amen.